Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe, Ashe,
Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began in the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013. And are happy to be celebrating our fifth year on the air with you. So please reach out to us and our sponsors, Manhood Raising Culture, headed up by Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as James Jones, as well as Manhood Raising Culture as a like group and group page, as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraiseculture.com. Also support Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. You can find Brother Arley on Facebook as well and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And we also want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the families and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please reach out to Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at FreeAlabamaMovement.com and FreeOhioMovement.org. And so I just want to take a quick second to welcome everybody back to Sign in the Times. We had taken some time off just to get some boots on the ground and more things activated, especially considering that we are a full-fledged media and publication and now going into entertainment media source for the African community. And so we could not have accomplished the things that we accomplished over the past 5 years without you. And we're looking forward to a very exciting future, especially in 2019, with that being the mark, if you will, of 400 years of our enslavement here in the United States of America. So as we begin to address more boots on the ground issues, we need more feedback from you on what's going on in your city. So reach out to us. You can find me as Queen Tahira on Instagram at Queen Tahira. Tahira on Instagram at Queen_Tahira, and of course on Facebook is Queen Tahira New Power Radio Network, and Sign of the Times and Kabuka Inc. and Bars Beyond Bars. So check us out. We got a lot going on, and we need a lot of help, a lot of support, and a lot of volunteers. We also have a GoFundMe page. It's GoFundMe/SignOTheTimes. Feel free to make a contribution there. You can make a contribution on Cash App at $ Queen Tahira, all one word, all smushed together, no spaces, no dashes, no nothing. Just Queen Tahira on Cash App, and we will get your donation. And I promise you, I give you my word, I keep receipts. So we are using every penny that we get towards the betterment and upliftment of our community. And so tonight we have the honor and pleasure of joining us, Sister Elsie Johnson, pardon me if you hear that call coming in, Sister Elsie Johnson and the mother of Michael Powell, who I refer to as Mother Powell. As this family has been through a lot. Brother Michael has been incarcerated for 2 years, was invaded upon in the middle of the night by the police department in Alabama, and we're looking forward to getting an update from Sister Elsie and Mother Powell on how Michael's doing, what all has progressed, because it's been a few months since she's been on the air. And, you know, we're very concerned because if this can happen there, it can happen anywhere. If this can happen to Brother Michael, it can happen to you, and it can happen to me. So I want to go ahead and open up Sister Elsie. Greetings, Sister Elsie. How you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm making it, honey. You know, I get calls every day from people who need help, and there's so much out there that we're bombarded with as a group of people and as a nation that we've always been bombarded with, but it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. So I'm excited to have you on the air tonight, and you know I got your back, and we've been kind of navigating this case since it came to our attention. So please introduce your Mama Powell. If you're on the line, please push 1 so I can open up your mic, and please introduce yourself and tell us about Brother Michael Powell, and I yield.
Me or her? Is she on?
Yes, I'm going to go ahead and open up her mic now. Welcome,
okay.
Mother Powell. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, doing wonderful. Thanks, the Lord.
That's right. That's right. We got to be thankful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. So whichever one of y'all feel like you want to go first, feel free. Please introduce yourself and tell us about Brother Michael.
Okay, I'm Mary Powell, Michael Anthony Powell's mother. And, since the last time that we was on the air, ain't too much done took place since then, not, you know, on his side, on his part. So it seems like to me everything is getting worse in some place. Something is getting worse, though. And some of the places, you know, he just there, and they still treating him like he's a dog. They don't treat him like he's a person, but I'm pretty sure he's not the only one. But right now we're talking about him. But right now, he's in a place by himself. They're trying to say that they're trying to protect him. And I asked him, I said, what are y'all trying to protect them from? I said, are y'all trying to protect them from other inmates, other white inmates, from hurting them or something like that? He said, yeah, you can't say that. That's why they got him all isolated in a place by himself. And the only time they laid him out, they got a little place that you can go out there and walk around by yourself. That's where he at. He all isolated by himself in a little old cell somewhere. No TV, no radio. They got him isolated. And I told him, I said, Michael, I said, honey, you got to stay on God. You got to keep God in focus. I said, because what they're trying to do, they are trying to run you crazy, say you're crazy. And I told her, even like I told the Sheriff County Jail, I told them, I said, ain't nothing wrong with Michael. I said, Michael got more sense than y'all got. As you ready to come down to test, Michael got more sense than y'all. Because Michael done studied books. He done got his GED. He done studied all kinds of law books and stuff. I said, really, what's going on? Even like the time he got sick back here last winter and stuff, they didn't treat him like an inmate. They went over to the... He said they took him to the hospital over there. They didn't even touch him. They didn't ask a few questions. They told him, we're going to take this nigga back to the jailhouse. Ain't nothing wrong with him. So you're going, we're taking this nigga back. They didn't give him no medicine. They didn't touch him. But yet and still, he had to come out of his pocket and pay for that. He wasn't able to come down to these lawyers they got. These lawyers ain't worth a hill of beans. There's two black lawyers they got. One is Wesley. He was going to talk to him, but I'm pretty sure he didn't ever show up. He didn't ever respond to it because he's the type, he don't even respond to phone calls. He may tell you he's going to call. He tell Michael he's going to come from like this weekend. He don't hear from him probably from a month from now. So he's not a man of his word. So he tell Michael he's going to come down and talk to him. So then when they do come down and talk to him, he asks him about his childhood when he was going to school. Who want to hear that? You don't want to hear that, and you end up, your life is at hand. What is that? How is that going to help you? And plus, he wasn't an A student, but he went to school, and he was an obedient person, child, and I didn't have no problem with him. Well, what I mean by all problem, no other than other kids, you know, going out, playing with other kids and stuff like that. But still, you know, just being unruly and stuff like that. No, he was not a child like that. And I can give him that. And then also, too, about even when he was out, when he got out from up there in prison, okay, he came down here to see me. Oh, we just had a wonderful time. Talked to him and stuff like that. And then he went back up there where his fiance was, there where she stayed at, in Alabasto. He went back up there, and he got him a job. And because he had him a job, then plus he was in his own business. So if a person got making their own money, and working two jobs, they got their own business going. Why you got enough nerve to go kill somebody for $200? Why you got, you don't want that little $200, you know it's going to get you back in prison, you just got out? That don't even make sense. Then he must like this guy, they claimed they had, and got evidence that this guy said that Michael didn't do that, so he was standing guard on the outside of the store when this lady was getting killed, because he was a watch out. He told that he must had it on tape, but they throw that out. Yes, they throw it out. So I don't know what's going on. Like I said, the lawyer they got, and then he must say the judge they got. I don't like the judge. I know he ain't know that for me to like, but yet and still, you need to be honest with a person. Well, tell them the truth. Don't tell them what they can't do. He must like this judge. He told Micah that he could not get appoint another lawyer. Because Michael told him how Wesley and was doing, how they wasn't doing their job, what they supposed to be doing, they wasn't doing it. But yet and still, the jury told Michael that he could not appoint another lawyer. And you know for yourself that is not true. You got an opportunity to fire that lawyer or get you another lawyer. But they told him Michael still stuck with that same lawyer. He doing nothing. And so I want justice. So I feel like that in my heart. I know Micah didn't do that. Micah didn't kill nobody, put on a little $200. What are you going to do that for? He was sending me that once every other week. He was sending money home to me off of his regular job and off of his job. He had his own business. He was making good money. He was upholstering and had cars when he was upholstering. Y'all ought to see some of the pictures and stuff else they got them. Y'all ought to see some of those pictures that he upholstered, the cars and stuff. He is fantastic, and he was making good money. But yet and still, they ain't got no witness. They don't have none of that. They just thinking, you must, like I told the investigator, I told the lawyer, I told them, I said, have y'all got anybody else yet, suspect? No. I said, oh, in other words, y'all ain't looking. Along with this being, y'all ain't looking. They ain't got no evidence. They even with time that Michael came down here, they don't even, the time he come and what time he was, they ain't investigating none of that. So, like to me, they satisfied. So, I want some help if I can get it. If anybody out there listening and godly, got some God in them and want justice, I want my son to be, I want him to get free from that case. I want somebody to help him. Not just talk, or talk is cheap. You can talk all you want to until you put it in action. So, to me, it's time for action. He's been suffering. I know we wouldn't put on this earth just to not help, not to suffer, but yet and still he's been suffering for nothing. So I appreciate if somebody out there will listen and put yourself in a mother's place with her son. I got two children dead, my oldest son, then I have my baby daughter, Michael's sister. She's in the cease, but yet and still I'm satisfied with those, though, because they're going with God at. We're going to heaven. Well, I'm talking about Micah now. I ain't even him living down here in hell, then going to die and go to hell. For what? I try my best to teach him, yet teaching him, even when he was coming up, teaching him the word of God. And he is a godly person. He can sit down and talk to you about anything in the Bible, something you probably wouldn't even know what's in there. And he ain't just not started doing it since he's been down up there in the Shelby County, wherever he at up there. He ain't just not started doing that. So if y'all, please help me. Help him. So if you help him, you're helping me.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right, Sister Elsie.
Mm-hmm. Well, my name is Elsie Johnson, and I'm Michael's fiance. And I talk to him every day. And he's got good spirit. He did not have good spirit at first. But the way they do him over there, it's a lot of racism going over there in the jail. And it's mostly the guards. He got in an incident with some of the guards be trying to push him to get in trouble and stuff like that. And I always tell him, I say, you think about it and you think about God. They, a couple of officers, about a week ago, had wanted him to move out of a cell. I don't know for what. And then he told me two of the officers jumped on him and then the other one tased him. And I didn't know that until a couple of days when he told me this. It's so much going on over there. They're hiding it, and they won't let it out. And then the lawyers, when I call them, they have excuses. So I believe most of them, because Wes, he went out for being a judge, and we didn't never see him. But then when he come back, we see him, you know, and it's just like he's on all them sides. And when we go over there, when he have a court date, when we go over there, all of the people be over there, and they just hold Michael, and he just be there, and he can't say. They let him spoke about, you know, how he felt about his lawyer. And then the judge listened to him and told him, but if you had money, we'll step down, but you can't just say, I want another lawyer. I didn't understand that. you know, mm-hmm. because I know if somebody out there that could help him, I know if they look at his case and they know all this stuff, they don't pinned on him. They, you can look in it, but they're not trying to do. They just got another black man and ain't looking for nobody else. And it's a lot of things on that police report that they're not telling, but they just put it on there because mm-hmm. the investigator was keeping West knew some things from where he was staying at, and people were telling him that that wasn't the man, and it was another man. So they knocked all of that out. So I just don't understand, you know, how it is. We don't have help enough to just go and see can we fight them over there. Because everybody's telling me they're racist and everything, especially in Alabaster, because that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't have enough help to just push it and go through his the things that they got. They would see what we see.
Mm-hmm.
But won't nobody take it at all. I don't know why or not. Just like Mom said, we just need some help. If we could get any kind of help, we will sure appreciate it. And it would be in our heart, you know, if they would help.
Let's talk about West for a second. The attorney that Brother Michael currently has
mm-hmm.
is Everett West. He ran for judicial office this past
yes.
summer, and as
yes.
Sister Elsie and Mother Powell were saying, during that time, he was strictly unavailable. He
yes.
ran
uh-huh.
a social media campaign. I
uh-huh.
saw it. You still can
mm-hmm.
go see it. It's still on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, as she said, we tried over and over again to find out from Attorney West on what's going on with Brother Michael's case. Why
mm-hmm.
is he still being targeted? Why is he not being protected because of his,
mm-hmm.
especially because of his visual disability and the fact that
mm-hmm.
he has fallen off of a bump, off
yes.
of the top
he's
bump.
He fell off of that bump.
On.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he really has.
You want to talk about some of the incidences that have happened to Brother Michael?
Mm-hmm. One of the incidents
yes.
that he had, he was in the jail cell, and it was like urine on the floor. The lights was out for 4 days. They just going to take him and put him, and knowing he's legally blind, like, and he fell from the top bunk to the bottom. He chipped a tooth, and he hurt his ribs. So I didn't know that it was like that until one of the inmates called me and told me, but he got in trouble, and they punished him for telling me. Michael said when he got to the hospital, says Shelby Baptist, the nurses was talking so bad to him. He had to pee so bad till they did not. He had to urinate on himself in the bed, and they took him from there back to the cell. And he was wet all up. They didn't let him go to the bathroom and nothing. I mean, what kind of heart that you can have like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so bad to think that they do that to him. You know, and he
mm-hmm.
said, no matter what, they got cameras on this man tried to sexually molest him. Ask him, could he see? And Michael, and then when he went to see him, he started, you know, saying that Michael did this and Michael did this. But Michael was going to get, he going to protect himself regardless. He's not going to
mm-hmm.
let them do nothing to him. He's going to protect himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they throwed it out. They put another charge on him. Every time they get him in trouble, they put another charge on him. But the cameras, I called over there. The cameras were there. They seem like they don't care at all.
Mm-mm.
They don't care about nothing. And
so
over there. Yeah, mm-hmm. over there, they got white and black. He tells me, he said, baby, it is so much racism over there till it's put him in there with a skinhead. And the skinhead was talking all kind of stuff to him. And he tried to tell the God, it seemed like the God them turned their back, you know. And I didn't understand that. Why would you do that to a person? You always had to be proven if you're guilty. But they just sin and trying to get him. And Wes, we went to court one day, and that Judge Bullard, I think that's his name, he had his lawyer to take him in the room and ask him if he was to cop a plea, he'll be in there for life. Michael told him, what if I'm going to cop a plea for something I didn't do? What would I do? And you ain't had no business asking me nothing like that. He just wanted to get it over with. That's all he wanted. So I believe he's in it with him, because when we leave from there on the other side, him and Wes be over there shaking hands, talking, you know, like they just buddy-buddy. I'm sitting here looking at this. So they're not breaking him, because he talks about God every single day when I talk to him. Every single day.
Now we want to give out Brother Michael's contact information if people want to write to him. I'm sure he would appreciate hearing from those that are listening, to let him know that we hear him, that we are aware of what's happening to his case, and that we want to offer as much support as we possibly can. So it's Michael Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L. His number is 305-725. He can be reached at P.O. Box 30572, Columbiana, Alabama, 35051. And Sister Elsie, do you want to give out your contact phone number so in case people want to give you a call?
Yes, my number is area code 205-545-0565.
Ashe. Now, Sister Elsie, I know that you just mentioned it, and Mother Powell, feel free to jump in where you see fit, because I really want to give you all an opportunity to get some of the things off your chest, if you will, and make the listeners aware of what we're dealing with. Now we're looking at a couple of things here. The fact that Brother Michael was arrested in the middle of the night. Brother Michael has not been afforded a speedy trial, which is afforded to him by the Sixth Amendment. He has attempted to fire his attorney, which they have refused to allow him to do. He is in the process of still fighting for his freedom, and right now has been in solitary confinement for what? Would you say more than 60 days or more than 90 days?
More than 90 days. Yeah, because they just put him in there. Yeah, they put him in this place, and they were trying to say he was like crazy and all this here. And then when the woman come, that he'd be evaluated, and the woman told him it's nothing wrong with Michael. I mean, it's a lot of them be coming in there trying to get him to say things and all this, and then they trying to get they plead. You know, it's a couple of them that come in there and did that. You know, said Michael told them this, but, you know, all of them over there is working together on it anyway. So,
yeah, they also put this, what do you call this, shocker thing? They shocks him. They shocks him.
Yeah.
They shocks him, trying to get him to admit that he did this or said this. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to break him. They're trying to make him say that he did it. But he's not going to say that. I wouldn't say it either if I didn't do it. And I know you wouldn't either, but that's what they're trying to do. But that ain't right.
Okay.
But like I said, I know when you go to jail, you lose all your rights and all of this here. But yet and still, this here is not right. I wouldn't treat a dog like these people treat. Not just on the Michael said they do the blacks that way.
Yes,
it shouldn't be like that. One go for one should go for the other one.
Sure.
And see, Michael got some what they call it, some cases. He got some suitcases on these people.
He got one on
that nursing home, that jail, at the hospital where he went, because they didn't treat him right. Then he got some down on the jailhouse. Then he got some a suit on the police department before he went to jail. From where they did, they went and got a car off of Elsie's land and said private property. They went on the land without her permission and got the car off and took it back to the wherever they took it.
And when Alabaster when Alabaster arrested him, they jumped on him before they took him to come in. They said some harsh words to him, he said.
He got a suit in on these people. He got a suit on. And see what they're trying to make him break and make him drop these suits and stuff he got on them.
And
but
they
see, they automatically broke their command. They done broke the intent of all these commandments and stuff that they done broke them. And it's not right. Not was just only wouldn't if it wasn't not just only my son. Anybody else's son, if I could be a help to, I would be a help to him. Because they're not doing justice. They're not treating nobody justice over there. Then the food they get is not fit for a dog to eat.
Oh,
there's
no,
so many things that it's not justice. It's not going.
And if they, I know for myself, if the state had evidence with Michael doing this, they would be quick about doing it. They haven't even did that. They know. They haven't. They don't have no evidence on him. They can't see no gun or nothing like that. It's just from what they are saying, the white woman, that's what's going on right there. But then
so they're basing it basically on, slow down for a second, because people need to understand that's what the court should be recognizing as hearsay. There's nothing been presented that's tangible. There's alleged to have been a videotape that they are refusing to produce. Even the picture that they've shown that's alleged to be Michael does not look like Michael. And I've never met Michael. And this, I'm just using my basic sense on my eyes and knowledge in my head to look at this picture.
I have
and even the gate, this does not look like Michael. This does not look like Michael at all.
Yeah.
Michael's
not
weigh 240 and 230 and all of this. No, he didn't weigh that.
No.
But then on the report, it was people there saw that woman out there smoking, and then it was a car there before that happened. It was two black men there. They had left. All of this. They didn't put all of this in there. That's what I'm saying. Somebody that will know to go through all of this that these people got and all of these times these people got. It's so many time frames and all that. I don't see how can
they
imagine.
They didn't have no camera in the place.
No.
There was no camera in there. You know when it happened.
But then on his parole hearing, this officer, I have his number, name, the parole man asked him, so you mean you saw Mr. Powell shoot this woman? And he going to say, yeah, I can't wait till he get out. He said, yeah. There's no cameras in that place, period.
No camera.
But see, Michael was new in town. And you know, like this community, they knew him, and they had to get somebody. They had to arrest a black person.
Yeah.
They had to do that. And that's why these people are holding it so, because they ain't did nothing yet. People can talk about whatever. I don't care what they say about him, period. But I know what's right.
Yeah, because all this is about hearsay. Hearsay.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing about hearsay.
You got to prove this. But they don't
have
to prove
it.
Okay, so let's back up for a second. Now, for those that may have missed the first broadcast or two, speaking on Brother Michael's case, tell exactly what is alleged to have happened. And don't forget the part about the witness statement on what they saw. What is Michael being accused of exactly?
He's being accused of going in Chevron, taking the in the bathroom, and shooting her in the head.
Okay,
that's what he's being accused of. And Clemiana The sheriff's office did not indict him. Alabaster did that before anything. It's Alabaster did that because they was trying to get somebody right then and there. Because Michael had already went up there to Alabaster Police Department and filed a complaint against them. All right. They had went on his job and said he had called in a threat or something. And then when they found out it wasn't none of Michael, they were still at him. They had to take him. I'd like to make him lose his job. And they had to take him back. And then the officer said, it's not over. See, they was gunning for Michael anyway because they thought he was dumb. Michael is smart. They didn't like that. They had to go back and call the chief, and the chief told them to let him go. They didn't like that. Alabaster didn't like that. That's
but
what
see
happened.
This other woman he was going with, this white girl, he was going with Deborah. I don't know what her last name was. Her first name was Deborah. She was working at a filling station over there.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's who he was staying with when they broke in the house up there on her. That's who he was staying with. He was sleeping on the floor then. And up to her house.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, like this one in the neighborhood was saying, said Deborah, this white lady, she wasn't only just going with Michael, she was going with other black men. She was going with some of the police at the police department, different ones she was going with. Then she found out that Michael was like an Elsie. That's when everything broke loose. That's when she went to lying on Michael, saying this and that about Michael.
And where they were staying at, the landlord did not like Michael anyway. And then that's why she was taking his mail, sending it back to the parole people. But so Michael was coming home on November the 18th because he had to have a place to stay, you know, until, you know, that was over. And then he would come in here. Michael's clothes and everything was here. She didn't like that. Michael was sleeping on the floor. All right. When Michael got up there, she didn't like that at all.
Uh-huh.
Michael said he wasn't supposed to take care of her. He was taking care of him, and most of the time he would be here anyway. He didn't need to buy no food. He said she's supposed to take care of herself.
So this is retaliatory nature. And how is it? I never heard that part before about that he wasn't even arrested by the proper police department in the proper county.
No.
This county, Alabaster, where he had filed a complaint against for stealing his property. Did they ever return his automobile or vehicle? Did they give him some of his things back?
They wanted for us to get his stuff out the car. They wanted to charge us $300. But see,
they wanted
Alabaster
to charge you to come get his stuff.
To come get the stuff out of the car.
Wow.
So he lost the car, but he was paying his own notes. He was paying his own insurance. And that's why I'm on the stand. They saw Michael with a car. Michael had a car when he got here. Michael was paying everything. I wasn't paying anything. Michael was doing it himself.
Yeah.
He was doing it himself. Anything these kids need, Michael was getting it. And they could tell you, these children could tell you. Michael ain't never, and if somebody had done shot somebody in the head, that day he was here with us.
Mm-hmm.
He was here with the kids. And then, wouldn't you want to run? And the detective asked me how he was acting. Michael was acting like he normally acts. He didn't change. He was sitting down there with a friend talking down there when this happened. He was sitting down there. He was here. But this we don't understand. If you done did something, your conscience and how you is, you on the floor asleep, and you going to come in there and take him away in underwear.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be trying to run like some of these folks is? Wouldn't you be I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go? Michael didn't do none of that. Michael come in here and fix his sewing machine that he was, you know, when he was doing them cars. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Michael don't drink, smoke, none of that. He don't do none of that.
Y'all see some of his work that he did. Oh, he was marvelous. Y'all see some of his work. He's very talented.
Now, we do have a page for Brother Michael on Facebook. So if you search Michael Powell, his Facebook page is going to come up. And Sister Elsie, we're going to post some of those pictures so people can see Brother Michael's work. And again, keep in mind, you know, listeners, keep in mind that Brother Michael has a visual disability. He has 2300 vision in one eye, 2600 vision in the other eye. So they're, again, alleging that this brother went into this gas station by himself and alleged to have pulled this crime off with no evidence and witnesses that contradict everything that they've accused Brother Michael of. We've got a caller in queue. Do you mind if I open up a line?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to bring in last four digits, 3103. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
Yes, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Robert.
I'm sorry, Robert. Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Yes, I said thanks for taking my call. My name is Robert.
Nice to meet you, Brother Robert. Welcome to Sign of the Times.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I just wanted to say, as someone who was previously used to work in law enforcement, my main key question in this entire case would come down to, what is the main basis of the accusation? Meaning by that, if this happened in the gas station, was there a CCTV recording of the event? Did the individuals at the store describe him as the suspect? I mean, there's got to be more details to this than
Well, at the store, they didn't nobody get him, I mean, the person at the store. None of that. It was about a mile down the road on a camera of somebody, the man was walking. A man was walking. It was a lot of them walking. You know, this is specifically picked out this mic.
So you're saying, okay, are you talking about one of the victims involved or someone who's at the scene?
No,
it was the one that picked out Mike.
It was a store. Just an average walking people. That's it.
Okay, so you're saying that they're claiming Michael walked into the gas station, shot someone in the gas station.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So who's the person making that claim?
Didn't nobody make the claim. It was on a. They took it from a picture. Further down the road. Yes, from a picture. I think it was Progressive. It was the man was walking around from that place. That's how they got to. Somebody ID, you know, from saying that was him, you know, because the police went out and they said if they knew this person of interest, you know, get in touch with them. So that's how it got that way. I guess some people called in and say that was him, you know.
Okay,
that's
so
how
there are
called.
People that ID'd him that claimed he was ever seen him, did
it? Yeah, the walking. Say he was jogging. Say they saw this man jogging. Yeah.
And there was no one else at the time. They said they saw him from the scene or going to the scene?
No. This man was coming, was walking past the store.
And plus, he didn't have on the kind of clothes that Michael wore.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, for all we know, he might have changed his clothes after the fact. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
But the question we have to establish here is, so they're claiming there was a picture, I'm guessing from some type of camera in the area that had a picture of him near the store during the crime, during the time of the crime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you were to see Michael and see this picture, you know that couldn't have been him.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I know that he was
here.
He
wasn't that big, one thing.
Yeah, he wasn't that big. Michael weighed 100 and something. These people, the one that ID'd him saying that he was 240 to 230 pounds. Michael never weighed that. And then plus, the person that is didn't have the glasses, and Michael can't see without his glasses. This man didn't have no glasses on, period.
Okay. So the people that ID'd him, did they ID him during an actual, like, when he was in custody, or did they just give a description?
What did they do?
Like, you know how sometimes they'll bring a suspect to the, one of the witnesses, and they'll like either bring you while they're in the police car, and they'll, you know, bring the suspect
shine
the light on him.
No, they didn't. He's saying that from where the picture was, how did they ID him, you know, from the store?
All we know is they got the little picture from a nearby store, a nearby car, and they said that the lady that was living up on the hill by the hospital, they said that they picked him out of a lineup or something like that. And that's
exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah, so she – okay, so the one of the witnesses ID'd him in a lineup. Okay, so so she's the – okay, so she saw the individual who was at the crime scene and went a lineup.
She based it off of the pictures that they showed.
No, they can't just base it off the pictures that they showed. She claimed she was a witness of somebody either leaving the scene or near the scene when the crime happened, correct? Otherwise, she's not a witness. That's the whole point.
Well, that's what happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The point is she has to have seen the person near the crime scene. Otherwise, she's not even a witness. You can't be a witness by just simply saying, well, we showed her a picture and she said that's how it works.
Yeah, but they used her. They used her testimony for that.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, right now, there's at least circumstantial evidence that points to him. When you have, at the bare minimum, a witness who can ID him, that he was near the scene, then it's there. I mean, that's the point. Because at this point, the police, let's look at it from the police perspective. The police weren't there. They didn't know what happened. All
but
they're going off of is whatever little bit of evidence there is.
There, she didn't ID him there. That was just
she ID'd him in a lineup.
Yeah, she ID'd him in a lineup, but she didn't. He wasn't there at the Chevron. This person was walking.
We don't know that though. You're assuming he wasn't there. How do you know that he was?
Because I know he was at the house at that time.
So you're telling me you have a legit alibi that says at the time of the crime he was at the house.
Yes, it was by 4 or 5 people here when Michael's here at that time, they said it was.
So you're willing
That's
to testify that under oath?
Yes.
Under threat of perjury? You're willing to take that?
No, I'm going to make perjury. I'm going to tell the truth.
No, I'm saying you're going to testify under oath. But if you're lying, then you're going to be charged with perjury. You're willing to do that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just letting you know.
Case,
I mean, that's the situation.
And should this evidence prove that this case was trumped up? You know, hopefully the state will hold those who are accountable for these charges and for Michael's confinement as accountable as they're trying to hold Michael. And it's one thing to pay a debt to society, be held to trial and face, if you will, a jury of your peers, but he hasn't even been afforded the ability to do that because of the evidence that they say that they have is nothing more than based on hearsay.
That's the whole point.
One, Michael has a tangible alibi. He has witnesses that say where he was during the time that this alleged crime was to have been committed. Also, there are witnesses who were a part of the actual crime that took place that have been shut down and have suddenly disappeared. So there's some real funky stuff going on in the state of Alabama and Alabaster County.
Yes.
Well, hold on. Well, you're making the leap in logic here by trying to claim that, oh, now they're trumping up charges and all this. Anytime a police officer approaches a crime scene, especially like this, when there's no conclusive evidence like a video or anything clear, it's just circumstantial. And so right now the police got to go off what they have. And the number one thing in this situation that the police have is an eyewitness account. And if you have a witness who's willing to ID the suspect, that at this point is the strongest piece of evidence in this type of case. That's just a fact. It's not a matter of them targeting Michael or anything. Right now the issue is the credibility of the witness that ID'd him. That's what has to be cross-examined. So that's what you have to be. I mean, because you guys, I understand you guys know Michael personally, and obviously I'm not wishing this on anyone, let alone Michael. But I'm just saying when a police approach something, they're not automatically biased one way or the other. They have to go wherever the evidence leads them. So right now, the issue for Michael is the fact that there's a witness IDing him. That's the problem. If the witness didn't ID him right now, Michael probably would be already released or put on some type of temporary, you know.
How can you just pick a witness, somebody walking down the road and going to say that's him? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to get in the lineup. After you don't saw the picture there, you're going to say that's him.
Well, that's the point. The fact that there is one, that's the main reason that these situations. Now, if his lawyer, whether it's public, a public defendant or whatever it may be, the number one thing they have to do is put the witness on trial, on a stand, cross-examine them, and try to get a clear understanding of how they were able to determine whether they know for sure that was Michael or not. That's obvious. That's the number one. Okay. That's how the whole case is based on. Now, the question I have to ask you is, was there a weapon on the scene that they found?
No.
No.
Okay, so there's been no weapon found at all?
No weapon. Uh-huh.
And still ain't found no weapon.
Okay, so then at that point, then that's why Michael's in this tough spot he's in. Because if they at least had the weapon, then we could talk about, well, were there fingerprints? Were there anything, but right now we don't have that. So the reason Michael's in the situation he's in is because the witness that ID'd him. That's all it is. This isn't a case of the police conspiring to take Michael down. That's not what it is at all.
Okay, what about this part here now? He sent Elsa a tape saying that he was a lookout guy, the one that shot the lady. He was on the outside looking out.
Mm-hmm.
And he know who did it, and they sent her a tape.
Yeah.
So they took the tape, she gave him a copy of it, and then they brought it out in court, and the guy came down here from wherever he was at in court, and he gonna tell all kinds of lies. So he didn't know the nigga. He called Michael all kinds of things up there in the court, and the judge didn't even tell him to shut up or nothing. Just let the man talk.
Well, I mean, the court.
That up in the court.
You also say whatever you got to say. It's on record. But the issue at hand is, so you're telling me that that's the guy who ID'd. He had initially claimed that he knew the person that did it, and then when he got in the court, saying when he was on trial, he claimed Michael did it.
Yeah,
no,
he don't know nothing about it.
He told us that he knew who did it. He called out about the police. He tried to tell them all of this. He tried to tell them they had the wrong guy, but. The DA got with this man, and we don't know where the man is, but I know that's supposed to come out regardless.
But the point is, so the man testified under oath that he doesn't know who did it.
Yeah, but you got his voice and all that on tape.
Yeah, but I mean,
and saying
that's
what
the
he
point.
Was doing.
No, the man that called me and had me the tape, he was scared. And he had me to tape a tape about, you know, he said he know who did it. He told how he did it and where he was when it happened. And he said.
But I mean, if he doesn't say it under oath, if he doesn't do it in court, it doesn't mean anything. That's my point.
And that's what I'm saying. But they the DA trying to knock it out. And they're not, we don't know where the man is.
The guy probably ran away. I'm assuming that the guy probably, if he knows who did it.
By the time he got ready to die. They had intimidated him as a witness by the time he got ready.
Well, that's an assumption on your part. You don't know that.
This is based on what he said.
Yeah.
He said on record
that the DA intimidated him?
Yeah. He didn't say that, but we know what happened because
they put the man in jail for a week or two, then they took him out of jail, they shot him free.
But again, how do you know that? You're the ones making the statement that the DA somehow or someone in there intimidated him to not testify and claim who really did it. I mean, that's a pretty big claim to say that.
We still have to look at the evidence. The fact that the police have claimed that there's a videotape of Michael, but they haven't presented it. He's been locked up for over 2 years without a trial. There's been conflicting witness statements. He has an alibi, and the attorney that has been forced upon him after even he tried to recuse him, Michael tried to have him dismissed. Case one ran for judge this past summer and did not make the ballot, but two has intentionally withheld evidence and has refused to even interview witnesses. So we're not even
exactly
whose side he's on, and that's why Michael wanted to fire him. That's why we're on the air tonight, and that's why we're pleading to the community, especially if you're in the state of Alabama, if you're involved in law enforcement, and we appreciate you calling in because we need to have this conversation, you know, with people
yes.
who are in positions of trust so that they
right.
realize, like, all of these claims, all of them could not be invalid. And, again, they're basing Michael's incarceration without a trial on hearsay, even though he has a concrete alibi. None of this stuff has been able to be presented because his attorney is even working against him.
Exactly.
Well, hold on. Now, when you say hearsay, I mean, think about what you're saying. Hearsay and claiming that to apply to a witness who ID'd him, that's not hearsay. I mean, when you're talking about a case in which you have no conclusive evidence, you have to build a case on circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence, in that case, the number one most important key is if you can have any witness who can ID the suspect. That's like the number one. The only thing less than that, only thing more than that would have been having the weapon itself in which you could have had found out the fingerprints on the gun. That's the only other thing. I just, you know, so when you say it like hearsay, you're making it sound like, oh, it's just some rumors being said and they're basing off that. That's not what we're talking about. I mean,
okay.
you at least got to give an accurate
Yeah, but see, you can tell from the lady that picked them out. You can tell from the lady that picked them out. She lied, talking about, you know, how much he weighed and all that. He didn't weigh that much. And Michael did not wear the clothes that they say he had on. He did not.
I'm not claiming that Michael did this. What I'm saying is, you're going from Michael was falsely accused to now the police and the entire Justice Department is literally conspiring to basically put an innocent in prison. I mean, that's
exactly.
crazy.
That step is going too far.
I mean, you're assuming.
Yeah, but tell me this. Okay, you're going to go into a store. No camera in there at all. No lights. Then you're going to take a lady in the back then shoot her. Then you come out, you will pick out somebody walking down the road just from there. No camera at all. So that'll let you know that was a setup from the get go.
Okay, well let's just let's say Michael is the person in the gas station who was shot. And now the case is completely different. Now they're trying to ID the suspect that killed him. And let's say there's no video. And all the police have is somebody, a witness, who's claiming that they can ID the suspect who had left the scene that they've seen. If that had been done to you on your side of matters, you would have been different.
You're breaking
let's
up, Robert.
Honest.
Yeah, so you're breaking up, Robert.
Okay, sorry about that. What I'm saying is you got to flip it around and look at it from a different perspective. I understand that you guys are obviously invested differently because Michael's family, and I get that, and I understand that. What I'm trying to say is imagine if the roles were reversed, and let's say Michael had been the victim of this crime, and he had been murdered.
I would still want evidence. I would still want the person to get a trial. I would still want to see the evidence. The circumstances don't change.
But that's my point. There is no other. There's barely any evidence in this case whatsoever. There's no murder weapon. You have no video or picture of the crime. So all the police have to go off of is any witnesses that can ID the suspect. That's all they have to build the case off of. And if the person who claimed to be a witness ID'd the suspect, if I as a police officer came to you and say, well, we have one person who can ID the suspect at the scene. And then if I told you, well, because we don't have any other evidence, like a murder weapon or anything else, we're just going to let this individual go. How would you feel? You'd be upset. That's my point. There's also
other testimony that says that there was a car there. There were three African-American males that were there. There have been similar cases of crimes that have taken place. this allegation against Brother Michael. At this point, why don't we hear from Brother Michael? Because I was able to speak with him, on what has taken place. So bear with me. This recording is about 15 minutes or so. It's myself and Brother Michael talking directly about the case and about the allegations that have been made. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Greetings, Brother Michael Powell.
In the event a third-party call is detected, your call will be terminated without warning.
Greetings. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Just maintaining. Trying to maintain.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So can you tell me about your case, how long you have been incarcerated, and some of the things that you've experienced?
I've been incarcerated about a little over 2 years now. Been through a lot of things. When I first got locked up, it was just like come to my open hostility or open racism. They didn't even try to hide it when they locked me up. Different things were said to me by the officers, a lot of racist stuff, a lot of stuff was done to me to try to harm me. I couldn't see that good because I'm going nearly blind, and they knew this, and they tried to use that, I guess, to make me harm myself, fall, walk into things, stuff like that. It was just downright evil. I don't know, it's just crazy experience. I had a lot of things. They even had a noose put on my cell outside my cell door. It was just unreal racism. I never thought it'd be like that. You read things and you see things on TV, but you didn't really realize that it's still there until it happens to you, I guess. And they're just so fixated, I guess, on believing that I killed a white woman or had something to do with it, to the point of them wanting, I guess, do something to me.
Now, do you currently have legal representation, and has it been satisfactory, the services that you received from them?
No, I have legal representation, but to me, at times, it's like no representation at all because they really don't listen to me. And they really don't tell me anything. The only reason I learned a lot about my case is because I filed a motion with the judge myself complaining about the lawyer's representation and about the unethical things that I thought that they was doing to me, which was trying to force me into a hopeless state of mind whereas I would take a plea bargain or something, and it seems like everything they did was try to push me in that position. They wouldn't allow me to see the evidence at first of what the district attorney and them had, which turned out to be really nothing, but they was trying to keep it from me to make it seem like the district attorneys and that, like they had an overwhelming amount of evidence against me. And they still don't listen to me. Even after they brought forth some of the stuff and showed me what the police had been hiding, because they had been hiding a lot of stuff about other suspects. They had been hiding things about other people calling in and really identifying other people, other suspects. They was hiding all this. They really didn't want me to know none of this, you know, and they told me that I couldn't get rid of the lawyer. After I went before the judge, they told me that I couldn't get rid of the lawyers that I had because he felt like they was my best option. And they don't really listen to me. They don't challenge these people to the degree that I want them to. Really, at times, it's real scary because even when I've been in court with them, the white people was threatening them on Facebook and stuff like that, and even when he made it known to the judge, he was, like, scared and shaking and really didn't want to tell them that the white people were threatening him, the family of the woman was threatening him and stuff. And it just, I don't know. They, to me, they're just scared. And to me, that's the wrong type of emotion to be having when you're trying to represent somebody, especially like me in the case that they got you charged with.
Exactly. Now, what are they attempting to charge you with?
Capital murder, which is a robbery took place and this white woman was killed. And I'm still not understanding because they really don't have anything linking me directly to it. There's no witnesses that saw me there. There's no fingerprints, no DNA, nothing. And it's just, I don't know, it just boiled down to some white woman said she saw me walking down the street and or running down the street, and that's the connection that they say, well, I guess saying that me, a black guy, was in the area, and that's enough to charge me with capital murder.
Now, I've seen a grainy image that the police is alleging to have been you. It does not look like you, and I've never seen you face-to-face, but just from the pictures I've seen of you, it's a grainy image. It's from the back. And the person's build even is not the same as yours. When you speak of the fact that there's evidence that's been withheld and witnesses that have been tampered with, what kind of evidence have they shown to attempt to pin this on you? And it's also my understanding that there is an actual video that they're claiming to have that that your attorneys haven't subpoenaed for or haven't seen yet. What's the status of the so-called evidence that they have? And
you have
and
one
what,
minute remaining.
Well, they have it is basically the same as that picture that you probably saw, the one they were showing on the news. And none of it really shows the guy's facial features or nothing like that. And it's just, I don't know, it's just a lot of offhand evidence, nothing specifically that points to me. They lied at first to get my parole violated. The detective did. He lied and said that they had a video showing me going in the store and doing all this stuff. And actually, they don't. All the documented work that they have on it, it actually says that there was no video in or outside the store and all this stuff here, but they lied, the detective lied to get...
Your time is up. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, I was having difficulty with my line. Now, you you stated that the evidence that they supposedly have, the video does not actually exist according to the information that you were forced to subpoena from the court.
Yeah.
So why? What is your opinion on why they're still holding you, and especially considering you haven't had a trial yet?
Well, here in this jail here is predominantly a known tactic of the courthouse and the district attorney that they try to keep people here for years to try to influence them to take deals and stuff like that. And to me, it's just part of some tactic, I guess, to make me get tired of doing time or something, so I'll take something. But I think it is out of desperation for them, because they want some black dude or some dark-skinned dude to, I guess, be found guilty for the killing of this white lady. And to me, that it seems like to me that I'm the only long shot that they have, and they done messed up so much in their investigation to where they're just trying to, I guess, hang on to me as a last straw to make the public think that they're actually seeking to do something or punish the guy who's guilty. And behind the scenes, you know, they know that they really don't have anything on me, that it's all just, you know, a bunch of guesswork and theories and stuff, because to them, they know that as long as they can put it on the news that they taking me to court or whatever for this, that a lot of people, when they see something on the news, they automatically believe that person did that. And to me, it's just a tactic for them to try to influence the public to believe that, okay, they got the guy that's responsible for it. But there's no evidence behind none of that. They're really to say, okay, this guy is the one who's guilty of doing this. They don't have none of that. And my lawyers, they don't even want to come on the show. They don't want to do no interviews saying that they just want to keep it to the court and stuff like that. And to me, it seems like, well, if you know that these people are using the news and the TV station to put out bad publicity about me, then it seems like me, that naturally the lawyers should want to go on the radio and put my side of it. You know what I'm saying? Not without really just revealing any details of the case or their strategy, but just really just putting the blanket racism on the floor and letting everybody see it. But to me, it seems like they're scared and they don't want to be viewed by these white people here in Shelby County, you know what I'm saying, as being ones who actually will expose their racism. It seems like they just want to rub elbows with these people behind the scenes and stuff like that and remain okay with them.
And another thing that has happened since your arrest, Brother Michael, is the fact that your attorney was running for some sort of judgeship or public office. Isn't that true?
Yes, he was running for a judgeship in some district. I forgot, I think it was probate court or something like that. He was running for that, and then he really didn't, I guess I couldn't nobody get in contact with him because he was campaigning and I had a lot of issues that I wanted dealt with, you know, and I guess he didn't have time.
Mhm.
You know, because another thing is, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I want because there's a white lady that was saying that I knew her and we were somewhat, I guess, acquaintances, because I never really considered her to be a friend of mine, but she was a friend of a person that I knew while I was in prison. But she knew the police, and she told a lot of lies. She told a lot of lies to the police, I guess, because, I don't know, she just told a lot of lies. And I wanted my attorney and them to subpoena her phone records and all this stuff, and that still hasn't been done. You know, because there's a lot of stuff that can be proven that these people are just really just trying to set me up for this capital murder. But to me, they don't seem like my lawyers are in any hurry to just to put the stuff on the floor, you know what I'm saying, and expose it for what it really is.
Mm-hmm. So if there is an attorney that we can contact or that may hear your story, you no longer want to retain the current attorney and you have attempted to file a grievance and have him dismissed, but the court is basically refusing to allow you to fire this attorney. Do you want, if someone's listening or to your story,
you have
or can
1 minute
hear it,
remaining.
Yeah, that would be good. Somebody with the experience to handle this case, you know, because it's really scary to me that I'm being forced to retain lawyers that really not, to me, it mean the ethical expectations that they're supposed to be meeting, and it's real scary to me. I just wish I could find somebody who's sufficient enough to help me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to continue to reach out and seek help and assistance for you. And
I'll have people reach out to Sister Elsie. Do you want to give your contact information to me while I have you on the phone?
Yes, it's Michael Powell. That's P-O-W-E-L-L.
Your time is up.
All right. Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic and get everybody back in queue, as well as bring in a new caller. Last four digits, 9452. So I'd like to yield to Sister Elsie and Mother Powell real quick for any response they may have had following Michael's testimony.
No, everything, you know, he said, you know, is right, you know, because I've been with him all this long, and everything, you know, he's saying is right. It's just like it's scary because you ain't never been in no predicament like this before.
Mm-hmm. And also, too, a lot of things that's going on in there, he wasn't allowed to say that. Because if he did, he'd have been automatic cut off. So there's a lot of stuff going on in there that he could not say.
Yeah.
So there's just so much that he could say. But yet and still that he's not pleased with none of that going on. It's not, like you said, it's scary. I can imagine. I kind of can put myself in a situation like that. Like you said, they don't want to listen to him. They got their own say-so. They got their own side of the story. They want to... Can you see her there?
Yes, ma'am. We're here.
Oh, okay. I heard something go boom, boom. So, but yes, anyway, it's just a scary. It's the scary side of a story. I wouldn't want an enemy of mine to have to go through something like those prisons going through over there. I wouldn't want an enemy of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because even like I said, even to the judge, you shouldn't do that. Even to your lawyer, why he want to tell you to plead a plea guilty, saying that you did it? Somebody, we can, Mr. Hayes said, because he even told me, Wesley said, what we trying to do, we trying to keep him from getting the gas chamber. Because that's what a lot of them wanted. Yeah, they had it on the internet, too, or Facebook, whatever you call it. They told me, they ought to give him the electric chair. For what? Something he didn't do. But like you say, you know, they just going by hearsay. They don't have the whole evidence. And like he said, he had to get a lot of this information for himself. The lawyer would not give it to him. He had to write a letter and had it posted some kind of way for the judge, the DA to get it. That's how he got the information, because the lawyer wasn't doing their part of what they supposed to have been doing. They weren't doing none of that, because half the time you can't even get Wesley. His secretary said, well, we'll give him the message. You wonder sometimes, do we ever give him the message? Then you call back again a couple of days a week where I gave him a message, but he hadn't called you. He ain't kept to call you.
That's right.
Then he got another walker. I guess he does the best he can, but he can't do the more Wesley tell him to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always something up. He Wesley in the court or walker. His assistant. He's in the courtroom. It's always something. You need it. He didn't pay. He didn't pay good money. Now I can see if he wasn't getting paid. I wouldn't answer the call either. But see, Westrum getting good pay. They get paid money. But they're not deserving the money they getting, because they got a case going on. They're just getting fat with the state money. That's what they're doing. That's the whole thing boils down to money. Even with the jury, everything is boiled down to money. So money, 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 money.
I want to welcome in last four digits, 9452. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, Queen. What's up? It's Sister Erica.
Greetings, Erica. Welcome.
Hello. All right, so I've been listening, you know, to both sides. So the man who came on... He said he was like a cop and, you know, was trying to look at it from, like, the state side, like how they would look at the case, you know. And I think that, you know, it's necessary to look at it like that. So, but I just don't know exactly where he was going. But what I had to say to that is, you know, okay, yes, they need a witness. They don't have a gun. They don't have any other... you know, tangible evidence, so they got to build a case off of circumstantial evidence. So now a witness said they ID'd him in a lineup. Okay. But that's what he was talking about. But what my rebuttal to that would be, you know, like say if me and my boy, I don't have a boyfriend or whatever, but let's just say that me and my guy was arguing and he left out the house and I was real mad at him. And I knew he was going up his mom's house in Braddock. And then I heard on the news somebody just got shot in Braddock. But I'm so mad at this man, so I called up and said, I'm witness. I seen him walk past, you know what I mean? So, you know, it definitely comes down to the credibility of the witness. And like you said, there was, you know, some conflict as to the build of Michael between the person she described, the clothes he had on, you know, just because he had to happen to be walking down the street. That seems to be a little bit too circumstantial to me because, like, my best friend, you know, my best friend right now is serving a life sentence for something he didn't do in a similar situation. It was similar situation, like, there was no the witness was, and it was a white guy that got killed. So it was like the police were on one, and they were looking for someone to pay for this crime.
Yes.
And they put it on my friend, and he didn't do it. You know, and, you know, so what they did was they got his cellie that he was in jail with and pulled him out the cell and told him, didn't he tell you this? Didn't he tell you that? Didn't he tell you that? And if
you
go testify on him. Yeah, and then they told the guy that was in the cell with him, oh, if you go on the stand and testify that he told you this, this, and that, then you'll get your time cut down.
Yeah, see, so, that's what happened to Michael.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so this is what he went to trial, and he testified against my friend, and that was enough, like, for them to convict him. So
mm-hmm.
he went through three Supreme Court appeals. Even I was there for two of them. I missed the third one because I couldn't stand to see him lose if he lost the third one. But on the second one, they brought the same guy who did that, the same witness that they let out the county jail. You should have seen him. He had mental issues. And he admitted to them after all those years that he lied and that the police told him to say that. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
now let's look at this, right? This, we're talking about a capital crime, okay,
yes.
from an attorney who won't recuse himself. If me and my attorney ain't getting along, the integrity thing would be for him to just recuse yourself from my case. Just get off my case then if you're not trying to help.
Yeah.
You know, they're supposed to be there to help. If they feel
exactly.
like there's not enough evidence or not enough, you know, whatever they need to fight
mm-hmm.
your case, well, then pass it on to the next one then. You know
there
what I
you
mean?
Go.
And then
there you
at
go.
The same time, he's going to run for judge. So
yeah.
how convenient would it be if a public defender, we call them public pretenders.
That's it.
If the public pretender who was running for judge and he just got a guy to admit to a capital crime, he would have
yeah.
gotten on that ballot quick as hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's why you have to say, that's why you have to keep in mind that it is about money, but what this money ties to, it's all about politics.
Yeah.
There's politics
yeah.
to everything. So
well,
just because the police had a witness that said she seen somebody that she described to not even look like Michael, you know what I mean? That's
mm-hmm.
not enough, can't be enough to convict someone of a capital crime. And
no.
they got him in jail for 2 years without a trial. Right there is enough to him for him to should be released.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just off of that
yeah.
fact, one fact alone. Then you go back and look at how they're treating him in there, and they're
exactly.
isolating him, and they're doing that and this. Because I have a case now, and my first lawyer was doing that to me. I would go in there, I was so messed up, crying, telling them, you know, what they're doing and how they're lying and this and that. You know, and he would sit there and still try to twist it and say, well, it was a little like that. Did you do it a little bit? Like trying to get me to say I did something when I didn't do shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's what they're doing.
So to me, it sounds like I kind of understand, like, when he came in, you know, trying to bring that different perspective of, like, okay, let's look at it like, you know, if I sat down with my lawyer, and that's what I'm going to get from him, because we have to look at how the state is looking at it. If I have to go to court and deal with the state and, you know, plead my case mm-hmm. against them, you have to see where they're coming from. But it's not going to hold up. You know what I mean? Like, it's too circumstantial. This is a
mm-hmm.
capital offense. Even in their 2 years without a trial? Come
uh-huh.
on, man. This seems like some bogus bull crap, if you ask me. They pin
mm-hmm.
this on this man because they just want somebody to pay for the murder of some white lady that he ain't even to
exactly.
do the murder. You
yes.
know? And then we talking about Louisiana on top of all that. You know,
no.
So you got to look at all the facts. So the guy that came on, you know, keeps saying, like, oh, when they had a witness, they had a witness. But I've seen a witness recant their testimony. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
there's reasons why. So this guy was in jail. He got less time to be a witness on somebody for a capital crime when their public defender is running for it. You have to look at all the facts because, to
yeah,
me, I don't
they
know
got so
you guys.
They
I don't
you,
know.
They pay you to get up there and lie. Nah, they pay you to get up there and lie.
And I know that to be the truth, too, because my one friend got mad at my other friend, called the police, and he was getting high. He ran out of his get high. He called the police, told them, yeah, if y'all want to bust, I need some money. I'll tell y'all where all the stuff is. Sent them up to her house, and when they came in, they threw the card on the table. It was like, we're putting anybody on the payroll. You got some information, just call us. Like, yeah, they're paying for that. They're paying for people to lie. Because this is ties in, the politics side is, it ties into private prisons and how they need to keep people locked up in order to keep these private prisons at a success rate, or the private prisons will not be successful. So when we look at the facts, let's look at all the facts, you know. Just because we got some bogus witness testimony, that's not enough for my ears. I don't know anybody in the situation. I'm on the outside looking in, but it still sounds fishy to me after all of that being
there.
There
you go. Yes. And too much of this stuff is not only just on TV. So, you know, they're saying it on TV, even much of the lawyer and the judge and everybody else. They're paying somebody to get up there and lie. And I will get up there in court and say the same thing. They pay people to get up there and lie.
And another thing, I've been through this case, and I've been watched officers of the law and the people that are CYF and that got up there and already purged themselves, have already did it in front of my, I'm the witness. I was there. I know the real story. I saw you purge yourself. So let's not act like perjury. People ain't doing no perjury. I done seen that with my own eyes many times, you know.
Hold
so
on now.
That witness.
Brother Robert is still here. I want to give him an opportunity to come in because he's been real patient. So come on in, Brother Robert. Do you have a response?
No, I actually agree with a lot of the points you brought up. That's why I said earlier that the main thing in this, if the lawyer, the defendant, is what is himself, he has to cross-examine the witness. That was one of the first points I mentioned. Because this whole case hinges on the credibility of the witness, why he did. That's the whole case. So,
but he needs a lawyer that wants to do that for him. If
right,
his lawyer is
not
even getting that to him.
Yeah.
Right. That part I absolutely agree with. And like I said, when I heard everything from Michael now and the points he brought up, from my perspective, I don't think Michael did this, if I'm telling you my perspective. I'm just trying to look at it as in the middle as possible. My personal opinion is I don't think he did it. But if you're going to go about doing this, the only way you're going to get this is you got to get a lawyer from either the NAACP's got to get involved or some type of organization who's going to be willing to bring a legitimate lawyer into the case. Otherwise, it ain't going to go nowhere. Because that public defendant, like you said, is ready to send it to the electric chair. That's what they're going to do. So I don't know if you guys can get in contact with NAACP in Birmingham or what you guys are, who you're reaching out to, but you have to do that. Otherwise, I don't know what else you can do.
We have reached out to NAACP, but they never responded. They didn't want to have anything to do with it, and I didn't understand that one anyway, because that was his life. They threatened him in jail.
Even to the police.
Yeah, the security guards in the jail.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of them threatening him.
They hung a noose outside of his cell. I mean,
yeah.
You know, how much more blatant can you be?
See, that's what I'm talking about. A lot of that stuff he couldn't say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. He needs a new lawyer. That's the first thing I would say, that he needs a whole new attorney.
Yes.
And not to proceed without. My godson was in the Fed joint. It took him over 4 years to finally get the trial because he kept getting rid of them attorneys that wasn't doing that, you know, what he was wanting them to do. So, you know, I think, like, the first thing that we will, I can even try to research something like Louisiana law or something for you guys and try to see a way through their laws and their cause to how to get that lawyer off of his case. That's the first thing I would say that needs done, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't the first step be to actually be able to hire his own lawyer? I mean, financially, is that even an option?
Yeah, but we can't afford that.
We can't afford it. We can't afford it right now.
We'll start a GoFundMe page.
That's why,
Brother
that's
Michael.
Why we're reaching out. That's why we're reaching out trying to get some help.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I
feel like somewhere, I feel like in my heart, I feel like in my heart, God got somebody. God going to send somebody. I feel like that in my heart. God going to send somebody to take his part. And God going to send somebody, whoever did that, they going to confess after a while. It might be years down the line, but they going to confess that they did it and know who did it. I believe that in my heart.
Well, I hope so. I pray for that for sure, man, because after hearing it from Michael himself, I mean, as someone who's done a lot of interrogations and questioned a lot of suspects, just from that conversation, I can tell he didn't do it. I can just tell you that right now. That's clear as day. You can see that. And for what they're doing to that man, like, I didn't know that a white woman got killed. And if you had told me that it was a white woman killed in Alabama, I would have pretty much. So I know what's going on here. I think we all know what's going on here. Right?
Yeah.
I'm in agreement with you guys at this point. And like I said, if to the host, if you're going to start a GoFundMe, then I'm definitely going to support that, and I would definitely try to do my best to let other people know, send some money in so that we can do our part to try to help this brother. Because this is insane.
Thank you.
You know, absolutely.
And I also like to say, too, and I also like to say, if we can, even behind what we are working on to do it, we're trying to do, we put God first. Put God first, because God should be first in everything. We put God first. God, glory, hallelujah. God will open up them doors, and God will send somebody and make them people, make them ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make them confess that they were wrong, even from treating Michael that way. God got a way of doing everything but fail, and I do believe that in my heart.
I agree. If he keeps holding on and stands his ground, the universe will come back and send karma to those people too. So, like, things will unfold, you know. But you have to just keep fighting, you know, until that all does happen, you know.
Yes, I agree.
So I want to give Michael's contact information out again for those that want to write to Brother Michael. His name is Michael Powell, Powell. His inmate number is 305-725, P.O. Box 30572, Columbiana, Alabama, 35051. Sister Elsie's phone number is area code 205-545-0565. Isn't that correct? Correct, Sister Elsie?
Yes.
Okay. We also, again, have a Facebook page, and I'm going to reach out to Brother Robert and keep him in tune with what's going on with Michael's legal defense fund. But, you know, to hear it from the state, if you will, sisters, and Queen Mother, affirm things that we've talked about, you know, that this is a blatant disregard for the justice system. And it can't continue under our watch and be unnoted. So the plan is to also share this tonight's broadcast. My phone number is area code 513 913-2691. Again, you can find us on Facebook. It's Sign of the Times, New Power Radio Network, and myself is Queen Tahira on Instagram at Queen Tahira, and I'm sorry, on Twitter at Queen Tahira, Instagram Queen_Tahira. Again, my phone number 513-913-2691, and I take texts, so please reach out to us. Sister Erica, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for chiming in and for your continued support. You a soldier, NPA, and we need your energy, we need your spirit, because we know you know from experience too how unjust the system can be. Thank you, Mother Val.
Thank you, too, dear. Oh. And thank you, too, also.
Yes,
we thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll keep you guys in my thoughts and just keep it positive. That karma will come, the universe will come. Everything is shifting. All the energy, the mind shift. So you know, just keep the hope and keep fighting. You know.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, y'all. We're gonna go ahead and close out for the evening. We will see everybody on Tuesday night. Getting back to our regularly scheduled programming here on Sign of the Times as much as possible. So keep your eyes and ears open, everybody. If you need me, feel free to give me a call, 513-913-2691, 513-913-2691. We'll see y'all Tuesday. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All power to the people. Ooh, ooh, ooh,
ooh. Life. Will it take me under? Smoking weed in the street without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamonds. Rolls. Your people holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time, watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my stars.
Paradise life relaxing, black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. Armani exchange the range, cast, lost problems, your bath, free at last, brand new whips to crash, then we laugh in the iller path. The villa houses for the crew, how we do, trees for breakfast, dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision, the better living, type of place to raise kids in. Opening eyes to the lies, history's told foul, but I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child, seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trife life to lavish. Political prisoners set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I think Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willie's. It's down foul, but every girl I meet to go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa.
If I rule the world,
imagine that. Thugs living worried, ducked down in car seats, heat's mandatory. Running from Jake, getting chased, hunger for pace. These are the breaks, many mistakes, go down out of state. Wait, I had to let it marinate, we carry weight, trying to get late. Flip the A stack to safe, millionaire plan to keep the gap with the cock hammer. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, Be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I rule the world and everything in it, sky's the limit. I push the Q45 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or be felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the fuck?
If I rule the world,
imagine that.